You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on September 13, 2023, and is titled, Brace Up. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and let's join Steve and the message.
Shame on us if they ain't hearing nothing. You know, during COVID, COVID was the great indicator, the great revealer. Who's got a little mustard on their hot dog? Who doesn't? I mean, but here's what it really revealed. In the midst of a national disaster, the corporate church went away and nobody noticed. If they didn't know you were gone, you must not have been doing squat while you were here. That's not how it happened here. And everybody knows it. Not bragging on us. I'm just bragging on the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you'll try to follow this Bible and you'll listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you won't find yourself cowing down to some Wuhan flu. You won't find yourself bowing down to a Chinaman. You ain't going to find yourself playing the game. You're going to be listening to God and trusting Him. And so he said, what do you hear, whether I'm here with you or I'm not? That you stand fast in one spirit. That's spirit with a little s. You see, that's not some spirit-filled church service. I've been to those. Most of the time, you got to get the music right, the lights right, the timing right. You got to get everything right to have a really good spirit-filled church service. If every one of you are spirit-filled, then when we come together, it can be a little more powerful than it is when you're alone. But there's not a whole lot of difference. When you leave this place, you should be walking chock full, pressed down, shaking together, overflowing in the spirit of the living God. So it's not about us all congregating as living stones full of the Holy Ghost. This little spirit right here, what spirit are you in? If you're in this fellowship and you're still hanging out here, it's because you have a spirit for God, your family, and your country. All the rest of them have left. They don't like my pushy way of doing things. They don't like my politics. They don't like that I don't have a filter. So they're gone. Good. We're getting this thing whittled down to somebody that'll brace up. I'm telling you, God's people have cowed down long enough, and God's not going to allow it. I'll tell you, I'm ready for the day, and I was thinking about you, Murph, singing right there. I thought, how thankful am I that a guy like Murph and Rhonda could, when necessary, grab a guitar without any electricity, without any lights, without any background stuff, without any atmosphere, could grab a guitar and begin to praise Jesus out in the middle of a pasture when we're bracing up for an all-out war. Because when Jehoshaphat was about to get his hind end kicked, he was about to get it handed to him one day, and he come back and told the people, he said, get the guitar picker and let's sing. No different when God mucked out 185,000. He killed them on behalf of Hezekiah. I'm ready for the day when they stand around and they mock my God in their turbans and their Korans and their fancy uniforms they wear. These transgender men want to wear all these fancy clothes. I want you to pile up. I want you to pile up like the prophets of Baal. And I want you to scream to your God until you ain't got no voice left. I want you to tell me what you believe. I want you to tell me who you're praying to. And when you get all done and we've had the calf on the stick and he's over the fire and he's over the rocks, I want to call on my God the same way Elijah did, standing there all by himself, right in the middle of 800 of them prophets of Baal. And he called on the Lord Jesus Christ. He called on God Almighty and he brought the fire. It wasn't until after he filled up all the barrels with the water, he said, now dump it on the calf, dump it on the fire, dump it on the stuff, wet her down, and I'm going to call on my God. And my God went, whoosh, and he burned up the whole cotton pinking thing and then killed all the prophets of Baal. That wasn't even in my preaching tonight. If you don't know those stories, I want to know what's your excuse. I want that to be my story. I want that to be my reputation. Whether Paul's here or not. From wherever Paul's seated in heaven. I want him to hear. I want him to see. I want him to know what's going on here. He says right here. Wow. We got to be in one spirit and one mind. Do you know what we've unified ourselves in? And Paul knew it. We talked about it last week. He said, well, whether they preach Jesus out of good motives or bad motives, as long as Jesus is preached. So what do we do as Christians? We've taken the Bible over the years and we've minimized our Christianity. We minimize ourselves. Why? If you'll minimize this, less is required. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just be a Christian and Jesus would be happy with me and because I don't do anything? We minimize. So, yeah, the body of Christ is one mind. We're all in one spirit. We all believe in Jesus. Is there anybody here today that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ walked on this earth as a human? If you don't believe that, raise your hand. I just want to know who you are. And just tell you, I'm glad you're here. So, yeah, we're unified. Really. So you believe in Jesus. What's your end game? What's the end game? Because I've been having a little trouble. I've been trying to figure out the other side here. I've been analyzing the enemy. What is your end game in equipping everybody in an electric car that won't make it from here to Sudan? What is the end game of getting rid of diesel? Do you know how many semis are on the highway every day? They all run on diesel. I'm a guy that runs right along beside them and tries to get in the diesel pump, and now we got to do the death thing too. And, oh, man, it's just one big happy party out there. How are you going to get your toilet paper without diesel? If you're going to wait on an electric car to bring you your toilet paper, you better be sure somebody sent you an extra pair of underwear. What's the end game? What's the end game in shutting down the productivity of the land in the United States of America? What's the end game? I'm having a hard time figuring it out. I know it's got to be something about money, manipulation, and control, but okay, forget them guys. What's our end game? What's ours? Well, I'm going to heaven. Prove it. Prove it. I don't believe you. Prove it. Dang, gets quiet around here. Well, I believe in Jesus. Really, prove it. Prove it. Because I watched your life and you put your trust in a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of people who go to church every week, couldn't find John 3:16 if you held a gun to their head. What's the end game? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a call to hold out the promise? Jesus Christ died so you'd be part of the promise of Abraham. That's in Galatians 3 and Romans 9 if anybody wants to go look. What's the end game? Is not your children the end game? Is not your children's children the end game? So how'd we learn to do this in modern Christianity? I'm a good parent if I'll send my kid to church camp during the summer and somewhere in there they get him to pray the prayer and get him saved and now we're good to go. Do you know what that does? That just gives the preacher that does his funeral a break. What's the end game of our living? Are we not a blessed people? To live in this United States of America that's supposedly one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is it not that Christianity was the core strand in the rope that guaranteed freedom for all human beings in a monument at Plymouth, Massachusetts, that guarantees our inheritance will come through faith in Jesus Christ and this Word of God? Because if men believe in God and will follow this Bible, they can self-govern and will not need the hands of the government to tell you right from wrong and how to take care of the land, how to do all the different things that we're being told to do. Is that not the end game? It is for me. If that's not your end game, you're sitting in the wrong building. Because you're going to get sick of hearing it. That's the end game. And so every time I open this book, it speaks to the end game. We're going to do this. Let me tell you one more little story before I move on down through these scriptures, and I'll be done shortly. Because she said to shorten it up. Our little niece, Becky, y'all know about Becky, and you've all been in on the praying and all that stuff. And this has nothing to do with me. It's just my relationship with the Holy Spirit, and many felt the same way, still do. And my wife is in full agreement with all of this, I'm sure. When Becky first got sick there and had her stroke and all that stuff, and them first day or two there, everybody in the medical side of things, pretty sure she stood a real good chance of dying. Like, real good chance of dying. But right in the middle of all that, we were praying and talking and a lot of weeping and a lot of things going on. And I'll never forget, we were parked kind of over by the tree there at United, and Robin had gotten out of the car to do something, and I was sitting in there, and I was just talking to God about Becky. And I said, God, there's just not one part in me. There's nothing in me that says she's going to die. I don't believe it. And Robin got back in the car, and we were talking about it. And I said, sweetie, there's just nothing in me. I can't find it in me that we're going to lose, that Becky's going to die. God had come visited my nephew during that time, too, and God told him that she was not going to die. So we get on the airplane, and we get to Colorado. We walk in the room. We talk about all these things. We have an amazing time in the Lord as we prayed over Becky and encouraged Brandon and all the family going forward, and shared this with all of them around there that, hey, there's nothing in me says she's going to die. That's the faith that God gave all of us to believe. And 45 days later, she's talking. She's eating now. She's eating food. Told her family. She gets to tell her family now she loves them. And now she's coming on. She's doing real good. It's been a long haul, but she's doing real good. Because God knew the whole time. We're not going to lose. So this morning, while I was sitting there praying in my office this morning, God reminded me. He said, you remember we talked about Becky? And I said, yes, sir. She's not going to die. And he said, this movement is mine, and we're not going to lose. This movement is mine, and we're not going to lose. I don't care if there's 3,300,000 or three people. Makes no difference to me. Because my God supersedes all of it. Your God supersedes all of it. If we'll just listen to Him and trust Him, the future for our children still stands. I don't care what Joe Biden says. Kamala, what's her name? I don't care about Lujan over here with her Second Amendment. Boy, she found out a trick or two, didn't she? She's just going to abolish the Second Amendment, and they all showed up with their guns on their hips. I mean, she's dumber than Barack Obama. He did the same thing. He's going to ban guns. Now you can't buy a gun in Walmart because all the rednecks done bought them all. Let me tell you, the other team's not very smart. I mean, if you can't tell boys from girls now, we have an advantage. Being one mind, striving for the gospel. not in any way terrified by your adversaries. That's huge. What are we afraid of? Why are we afraid to put our trust in God? Why are we willing to have Jesus, but I want to serve Jesus, but I trust God, but. And all of a sudden you found yourself trapped up. America's trapped herself. This huge dependency. You know what's amazing to me? If I woke up in the morning and they told me, which I'm not so sure it couldn't be happening, but they told me that First Bank here in Muleshoe was, say, just $5 billion upside down, I'd be there in the morning. I'd sleep there tonight and be the first guy in the morning when I got there. Give me my money. Give me my money. I want my money. When it comes to the federal government, how many of us out here in rural America? I'm not talking about a bunch of pajama people living in New York City. Show me the money. Give me the money. Give me the money. Give me the money. Give me the money. Do you know them people who are giving you the money don't have any money? That money belongs to somebody else because we don't have any money. We're $35 trillion in debt. I don't know how many of y'all been upside down, but I tried it 3 times. It don't work good. We don't have any money. We won't trust God to do what he said in the promise to Joshua. You sow the seeds, I'll bring the rain, you'll get the harvest. What's hard about that? You sow the seed, I'll bring the rain, and then you'll have a harvest. But I believe that, God. But now we got to get off our butt. Now we're going to come to a place we got really hard choices. How will they hold you hostage? It won't be because of your greed. It will be because of your fear. This is all fear driven. It's the same way you load a cattle truck. You slap your shaps and buzz the hot shot till they all get on the truck. The only reason a cow would run into a truck is because he was scared of you. Oh, I hope they ain't coming to arrest us. Please let me finish. But look, do not be afraid. Because if we're not afraid, listen to this. It's proof of their destruction. Perdition means destruction. So if we stand strong, it's proof of their destruction. Do you know why nobody bothered us during COVID? They bothered everybody else. I was not afraid. And everybody knew it. And the guys who are closest to me, we all stood together. And everybody knew it. They were told, if you come down here to do anything other than worship Jesus, you're going to be real busy. We're not doing it. At the first stance, they know they're doomed. What are you going to do now? Big boy, what are you going to do to me? I'm not going to let you arrest me. So what are you going to do? Now you got some big choices to make, and I ain't afraid of dying. So figure it out. What are you going to do? You see, fearlessness proves their destruction. It also proves to us our salvation. What do you think happened that day when Elijah called on his God and that fire burned up the whole cotton picking thing? Everybody standing there. But not, I'm not talking about everybody standing there wetting their pants. What about Elijah? I think about him a lot. You know, he's the one that looked over at the cloud and he said, you better go get a raincoat. And he calls on God in the midst of all these guys been screaming for 2 days. And all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm thinking, if that was me, I'd be standing there going, wow, dude, that worked pretty good. hey, man, we might try that again here one of these days. Proves your salvation. Fearlessness gives you confidence in your salvation. He said, and that from God. Everything from God. For to you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Not just to believe, but to suffer. You see, that's the word that's been left out of my generation. We didn't believe in consequence, so we went ahead and let the government run over us. And on my watch, we had Roe versus Wade, and we took prayer out of school, and we took the Ten Commandments off the public square. And you know, we've had to muzzle ourselves and kind of get out of the way. And then we gave up sanctity of marriage and all these different things. And we were the give-up generation. We gave up our children. We took them to kindergarten, and then that wasn't good enough. So we had preschool. Now we got preschool. School teachers got to change their diapers. Now they're changing their diapers in the fifth grade. Yeah. We handed them off and said, please teach my child about Jesus. Sorry if I get a little close to home. We've all participated. Some of us have repented and tried to do different. Here's my kid. You fix him, please. I'm busy. Or I don't know enough. I love that one. Well, I just don't know the Bible. Why? You just sitting around watching Netflix? Why wouldn't you know the Bible? So he says, you're going to have to suffer. It's not enough just to believe. I thought that was the key scripture of the night. That's why when he asked for a title, I said, title is Brace Up. Those kids are getting married in October. I want to apologize ahead of time for the America I handed you and your family. I didn't do it all by myself, but I was in on it. God promised better for you guys. And we didn't tend to it. But it looks to me like my God's given us another chance. But I think he's about done with the chances. I think we're closer to the end of the road than the man would want to talk about or want to even know. I think the choices are going to get really hard, and we're going to suffer. We're not going to suffer for what we are doing, but we're going to suffer for what we will not do. I will not leave my Bible at home. I will not quit speaking scripture. I will not quit promoting Jesus and the kingdom of God. And I will not submit to a tyrannical government. Because my founding fathers made a seal on the first day that said rebellion to tyranny is service to God. I will not, even if that means suffering the consequences. And Paul said, you hear how I'm doing it, you hear what's in me. 9 epistles, most of which were written with one arm chained to the wall, and half of them he was standing up to his knees in a cistern. Life was not fun for the Apostle Paul. But he did just exactly what God has called me to do for this movement. I asked him, I said, what do I do? He said, I want you to encourage. I want you to empower. What's the other one? Every time I get them three down, and I mean, he told them, and then all of a sudden one of them, inspire. He said, I just want you to inspire, encourage, and empower people who are like-minded, are one in spirit, one in purpose, and the victory is ours. Last word of the day, if you'll remember, 4 years ago at New Year's Eve, I gave a word. And some of you were here. And I spoke about knowing who's for you and who's against you. And to know in your life who's truly for you, who's like-minded in the same spirit. Because if we're for each other and God is for us, no weapon forged against us will prevail, and we'll refute every tongue that comes against us. Either one of you boys married yet? Y'all shopping? No. So just like those young men, I know there's things they dream about doing. There's things they think about doing. They know that someday they too are going to find that one come strolling through their life, and they say, hey, this is it. And then they're going to wake up one day, and they're going to have brought a new one into the world, and everything changes. I just pray to God that when you boys get to that point, that they're still pulling that flag up on that pole, that men and women are still free to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you'll be free to raise and teach your children the way you want to teach them and raise them. You'll be free to make a living and have your own money and not be a sharecropper, not enslaved to the trappings of men, but free to live your life to the full. How old are you? 15. I remember when I was 15. My dad let me drive without a driving license because I got my first real job outside the house. Man, that was some fun stuff. I was working and making my own money. 3 years after that, you know what I did? I voted. I was 18 and I voted because I was raised in a family that said that was what was right to do. It was my duty and my responsibility. I've voted in every election since. I'm 63. You do the math. It's been a lot of elections. Take care of your country, because that's the only thing you get to leave for the next batch. I know I didn't shorten it up much, but I'm done. I think this stuff is very important. I don't think you'll show up on a Wednesday night from here on out where there's any less than this. I think it's going to be right up in your grill every time. I think we're going to be challenged every time. I think we need to be toughened up. I think we got some hard choices to make coming down the pike. I think we need to love each other more than we love ourselves so that we can stand together in the worst of times and the best of times. I think we need to become students of the Word so that we understand the kingdom of God and we're like-minded in purpose. All to the glory of God and for the sake of the next batch. You guys need us to help you do this. I spoke to Congressman Arrington's group the other day, all his staff, and they had the D.C. staff there, a bunch of little kids. They're all really young, very young. And when we got done talking, you could tell God had really touched some of them in a big way. And I just told some stories and told some stuff, and we talked about some things. But I told them, I said, you know what would probably help around here a little bit? You probably need an old guy around every now and then. I look around, we got some old guys. And they're really good ones. We just need you guys to volunteer to be an old guy. Your society told you you wasn't no good at 65. We're going to turn you out to pasture. I'm telling you today, we need you. Need some old guys to walk with some young guys while we go win this to the glory of God. Okay? All right, let's pray and I'll get you out of here. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you, Lord, that you've empowered us with the equipping of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. Unify us in purpose, Lord, across this great nation. Bring us together, like-minded, in one spirit, that, Lord, we would have victory in this land, a victory for freedom, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those to come. And that, Lord, we become willing to suffer for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.